In addition, also, during our understanding of internal control, we do a test your intraarticular. We sample disbursement, we sample receipts, and during the sampling, we would come across any weaknesses in your intraarticular. If things are not properly substantiated or not authorized, that we'll come across on our testing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, the next question that we have for you is, how would you determine that our year-end accruals for pledges and receivables are fairly stated?
Why? Of course, I think Gil mentioned a while ago, we look at your policies and procedures, and it really gets down to how good and how strong the internal control is and how these things are recorded. If something is just not ever recorded and never reported, of course, the auditors aren't going to pick that up, that it's only those that are some kind of documentation or something. We can conclude, if you will, whether we think it's proper or improper accounting or what the evaluations are, that would we agree with those things. But if something is just not there, the auditors would have no way of ever finding it or even knowing about it.
If it's a contingent gift, we wouldn't record it. If it was unconditional promise and it was short term, meaning a year or maybe a little bit more than a year, we'd probably value it at 100%. If it was more than 2 years, then we'd probably bring it down to the fair market value.
Or present value.
We would expect that management would do that type of accounting for those type of donations.
Mm-hmm. And as far as if the recorded receivables and pledges, again, management makes the valuation of what's collectible and what's not, and we as auditors either accept or reject and maybe negotiate a different number, but that's the approach, if you will.
I just wanted to, when you were saying you either would, I guess, accept the management's what they put down, or either you said that you would either accept or reject it.
Well, when I say reject, I mean that we would. There's a. I'm thinking about setting up an allowance, if you will. Like, example, you record receivables may total $100,000, and then you say how much of that we do not think will be collected. And you set that up as a valuation reserve, and that's the audit, of course, is to be satisfied that there actually is $100,000 of pledges or receivables, and then is the allowance or the amount that you think will not be collected, is that a reasonable amount?
The one thing the auditors cannot do is we cannot audit our own work, so it's we rely on management, and management must do the initial accounting and come up with the initial valuation, and then we test it and determine in our own minds if we think it's reasonable. If it is, we're on the same wavelength. If not, we have to come up with something that we can agree upon.
Okay. Well, the next question that we have is, what do you know about the financial operation and challenges of public radio / broadcasting, and what is your experience with donor-based nonprofit organizations?
With respect, this is Gil, with respect to the industry that you're in, I know a little bit about it because I sit on a board that has both television and radio. The name of the company is Entravision. It's a smaller version that you may have heard of, Univision. Entravision is a small public traded company. We own about, I sit on the board, and we own about 50 radio stations and 50 television stations. And I also sit on the audit committee. So I get a chance to obviously deal with both the, or interface both with the accounting department, meaning our chief financial officer. The auditors will also do our audit, and I'm also involved with the reviewing of the financial statements and discussing with management what is transpiring with the operations of the company. Since this is a publicly traded company, we're constantly assessing both the progress of the business and what we think the outcome is, because we're constantly giving that kind of information to third-party, both investors and institutional investors. Also, Arlene, who is here, has also worked for that type of entity. Arlene?
Yes, a long time ago I was working for a broadcasting company, although it was a for-profit company, so the revenue was really more for from airtime advertisements. Yes, but I do have, I am familiar with the industry.
In addition to that, we haven't mentioned this, but we're part of BDO Seedman Alliance. After the big four accounting firms, Deloitte, KPMG, EY, and PwC, there's about another five or so firms that are in the second tier, and BDO Seedman is about number six, I think. And BDO Seedman themselves have public television experience. And then one of our alliance members in Lubbock, Texas, also has that same experience with television and radio stations in their area. In the past, many years ago, we also did a joint venture with KPMG here in Los Angeles, and we audited KCET, which is a local public television station in Los Angeles.
Okay, and just for clarity purposes, I'm sorry, are you saying BDOC?
BDO Seedman.
BDO
Seedman. B like in boy, B, David, orange, and then S-I-E-D-M-A-N.
Okay.
And
thank
that
you very
really,
much.
Really adds to our depth of experience and our ability to access technical information and support. They're about the big four range from 3 to 8 billion in revenues. BDO Seedman is just under a billion in revenues, but they have what they call their nonprofit Institute of Excellence in Washington D.C. They have about 100 people working there. We are like a franchisee. The way it works is they identify niche firms. There's about 150 CPA firms in their alliance group. When they identify you, they're looking for firms that have a unique practice like ours. We do a lot of nonprofit and public sector work. They do a due diligence on your firm. They take a look at your litigation history. They take a look at your client roster. They take a look at your work papers. They take a look at your personnel and so on and so forth. Assuming that you pass muster, they invite you to join. And if you decide to join, which we did, we actually pay a fee every year. But for that, we have access to all of their technical information, all of the resources that they have. We actually go to technical seminars that they put on. They have newsletters and pronouncements, webinars, brochures, and all of these are tools that we use to either provide to our clients, for example, brochures, how to form and run a nonprofit committee that we have. We have a nonprofit newsletter that we actually produce, and these are all things that we can offer to the benefit of our clients. And so in a sense, it expands our capability. In fact, it does expand our capability to provide you better service.
Oh, very good. Well, this concludes my portion of the questioning, and so now I will turn this meeting back over to the chair.
Okay. Jack Van Aken?
Yes.
Take the go to 14, please.
Go to 14? Okay. Pacifica.
Go to 14.
I see. Go in sequence. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, welcome everyone. Sorry for the confusion.
It's East Coast time, so we're a little tired.
Yeah. We're all a little. Okay, so what will be your expectations regarding Pacifica staff for this audit?
From the standpoint of our expectations, we normally look to make sure that the records are accessible to us, that the staff is not going to go on vacation when we're doing the audit, that all the information, when we get together, we have a request list. This request list delineates all the information we're going to require for the audit, so we would like to have it ready before we start. If that's the case, the audit becomes very efficient, and it kind of strikes to the integrity of the accounting records and the personnel. And so, and it kind of all it touches on staff capability. So we would be expecting the staff to have this information ready for us before we start the engagement.
Okay. If you're done in your experience, in your prior experience with performing audits of nonprofit organizations, have you encountered any situations where your examination revealed a need to extend your test work beyond the normal level?
The question again, please.
In your prior experience with performing audits of nonprofit organizations, have you encountered any situations where your examination revealed a need to extend your test work beyond the normal level? And what would be your policy in such a situation?
We start the audit on the expectation that things are going to be clean and we're not going to have any extraordinary problems. I don't know if you've talked to other firms, but they're getting into these risk assessment type things that are new this year for audits. And if we can come down and conclude based upon the internal controls and the policies and procedures and the integrity of management and a whole bunch of things that we have to take a look at, and if we can conclude that things are working well, then we would start with that thought. And if we do run into a problem or if something's wrong or if somebody suspects a fraud or whatever, then you have to start communicating. And normally the fraud example is you start with somebody in management above the level of whomever you may suspect or think, or just maybe you don't have any ideas about who or what, but you would discuss it with the audit committee if there is one or the board. If we happen to run into a problem that looks like it's going to take more time, then that would be a discussion item to be brought up with management before we incur the time.
Mm-hmm. And would you take an assertive approach to investigating when necessary? In other words, would you be proactive if you began to suspect that something was,
We have a standard. It's called the fraud standard, SAS 99, and we're required to identify certain people, including board members, to ask specific questions as it relates to possible fraud. And let's just say that something was to come up, we would immediately pursue that. We'd first of all contact management. Probably at the present level, just to let them know what's going on. We would pursue it, and then if we thought there was anything material, we'd immediately call the president and the chair of the board, the audit committee, if you had one, to let them know what is going on. If there was something serious, obviously we'd have to meet immediately. We would have no choice. But we'd have to kind of readjust our audit and focus in on what it is that we've identified. And pursue it until we were satisfied, either that we were that there was something there that needed immediate reporting, or satisfy ourselves that there's no issue, and then pursue resume our audit. But yeah, we'd have to be proactive. We have no choice. We'd have to be very proactive.
Okay, and this is sort of a follow-up to that question. Can you tell us of one or more situations in your previous work where these types of issues have arisen and how your firm handled that? You don't have to name names.
Okay. I'm just recalling one client that happens to be a nonprofit, basically a foundation, publicly supported, and they also had a contract with the government through the state of California to work on medical type things, and the payments were based upon a fee for service. And they had reported the wrong numbers, and we came up with it, and we said, you guys are wrong. And they politely told us after several meetings, and even the board got together, that they weren't satisfied with our work and that they would get somebody else to do the audit. So they did get somebody else. They paid us all the money they owed us and said, thanks for your service and goodbye. Mm. But we were right, they were wrong, but the state overpaid them about $1 million, what the number was that they were overpaid. But we couldn't go to the state. We're precluded from doing anything by the ethics of the profession of reporting something like that that we're aware of. The only time that would have come to be reported to the state, had they had us issue a report, then the state would have known.
Now, we had a different situation where we were asked by one of our clients to audit a major real estate developer. They were claiming a $5 million reimbursement for additional costs incurred. Lee was involved in this engagement. I'll kind of paraphrase it, but the bottom line was that the agency was not sure that they should pay that whole $5 million without doing some type of an audit, so they gave us a PO. They had claimed that the loss was about $16 million. By the time we got through, we had determined that there was a profit of more than $10 million. The bottom line was that the agency was able to recover $4 million from this client as a result of our examination.
So basically, that was a swing of for our client of $9 million between paying out $5 million and receiving $4 million, based upon auditing the reported numbers of revenues and expenses.
Okay. It might be helpful to us to get a sense of your experience in our sector and industry. Is a full client list for the past 3 years available to us, beyond any references you have already provided?
Absolutely. And we can provide that to you. That would be something we do immediately.
Nia, is that something we're requesting? Is that just a question?
If they have it.
Let me ask the chair. You said I should go to 14, not through 14.
Yeah, go ahead.
Should I go? Okay, through 14. All right. Now, Pacifica's board of directors is community elected.
This is Jack, right? Is it Jack?
Yeah, this is Jack speaking.
Okay. We did, in our proposal, we did enumerate a number of clients that we have done work for. So there are some clients there, but we can provide more if you'd like, as many as you like.
Fine. Okay. Our next question would be that Pacifica's board of directors is community elected, meaning that it is not as full of lawyers and accountants as some nonprofit boards might be. Would you say that it is a strength of your firm to explain financial data to non-financial professionals?
We actually pride ourselves on that. I was a teacher for a couple of years, doing my duty for getting basically a free education. I went to a state university. We were just complimented. We just went to Southern California Association of Governments. We made a presentation to the audit committee, and one of the audit committee members reminded the newer members of the presentation we had made and how clear and down-to-earth it was. And what we're trying to do is make sure that we speak to our audience in a way that they understand the reports. So our presentations are geared to making sure that the nomenclature and the terminology that we are using is explained as we're making the presentations to the audit committee and or the board.
In addition, you also have clients, the nonprofit community clients, healthcare centers. The board, our majority are community members. So they're also non-financial. So we're used to presenting to a board that is not financially
savvy. And actually, that's probably true of about 90% of our boards. I can't really think of too many boards that are made up of accountants and attorneys, even on the audit committees.
LAEDC.
Yeah.
LAEDC is probably the only exception.
Okay, thank you very much. Madam Chair, are you there?
Yes. Oh, yes, I'm here. You want me to do it, or you want me? Okay, great. Okay. We have Sean Casey O'Brien.
Yes.
Sean?
Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, you're up, and then I'm last.
Okay, very good. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us tonight. And my questions are real simple, and I give quick answers to them. How much, well, let me put it this way. Before you talked about your reduced rate for all the nonprofits you work for, my question is a little more succinct. How much pro bono work does your firm do?
We actually don't do any pro bono work. And this is the reason. We've done it in the past. But we're kind of, this is what we have found. When we do pro bono work, somehow the audit drags on and on and on and on. I could tell you that we do some, we're talking about integrity and honesty, so we're going to put it right on the line. What we do is we'll do it at a reduced rate, and there's a few clients that we do at about somewhere between 30 and 50% of our standard fees. But when you do it for free, your time doesn't mean anything. So if the client is slow and they take their time and it's no big deal, the audit never ends. And when what you think is going to be a 200-hour job could be a 500-hour job. And so by putting a little responsibility on the client, it tends to be a better effort on their part and somewhat cost-effective on our part, recognizing that we want to help entities, because there are certain entities we do want to help, but we just don't do it for zero.
Thank you. And who are your corporate clients, and is there anybody that we should be concerned about? I mean, you're not working with Blackwater or anything like that, are you?
No. Our corporate clients are very respectable. We have the ones that you would recognize or you might recognize is we do a little work for Southern California Edison. We do a little work for Sempra, which owns Southern California Gas. I sit on two bank boards, just so you know. This is Gilbert Vasquez. I sit on the board of Manufacturers Bank. That's a privately held bank. It's about a $2 billion bank. And I might add, with all of the financial crisis that's going on, we got the top rating from the regulators, and I chair the audit committee. I also sit on a small de novo startup bank. It's a Latino bank here in Los Angeles. Those are the kind of clients that I've been, as I mentioned earlier, president of the California Board of Accountancy. So we have a good reputation. We're not interested in taking on just any client. We do a number of SEC clients, all of which are in good shape. I can't think of any client. If we had a client that we just didn't think met our standard, we would terminate him immediately. We have enough clients and enough business that we're not going to take on somebody that in the long run is going to harm us or hurt us. Maybe that speaks to the fact that in the 40 years of business that I mentioned earlier, we've never been sued. We never had any complaints filed against us. And as far as I know, our name has never appeared in the newspaper.
Thank you.
Are you done, Sean?
Madam Chair, go ahead.
Okay, and I'll do the anchor leg. Hello, everybody. Thank you very much for joining us. My first question is, what do you think is most important in helping a board of directors understand the results of a completed audit?
Let me start off. This is Gil Vasquez. Like I said, I didn't mention this to you, but I've sat on 30 different boards in my business career. 24 of them are nonprofit, and 6 are corporate and for-profit. As a board member, first of all, I want to make sure that I know that management is doing their job, because that's the key to anything. Next, I want to know that I always make sure that we have a conflict of interest policy. I just don't ever. I was on the board of the 1984 Olympic Organizing Committee. 15 people from Los Angeles were chosen to sit on that committee. I was one of 15. We made sure as a committee that we never had first-class travel, that we never had anything that we thought. We knew we were living in a glass house, so we wanted to make sure that everything we did was of the highest order. So we had we actually had the auditors, which was Ernst & Young, and I was the chair of the audit committee there as well, do extended procedures as it related to expense reports of both the top management and the directors, because it's the little things in life that trip you up. And so we made sure that that was the case. So that's very important, making sure that you understand the bottom line of the company and any expense line items that appear perhaps not improper, just out of sync with what is normally the case, because you have people that are donating money to you, and you never know what might stand out if they look at your financial statements. Those are the things that I think that board members need to know. Always insisting that whenever we meet with the auditors, that we do so without management present, so that we can have a candid and frank discussion. And by the way, that's one of the accounting requirements that occur. But whenever I've sat on a board, I've always insisted on that. So these are some of the things that I look at.
Okay.
I don't have much to add, but I would say that whenever I'm giving a presentation, I sometimes think I'm being very dry and very boring, and I enjoy questions from the board. If they will ask a question that leads into many things, and that helps me make the presentation.
Right. And speaking of presentation, as part of your fee, I think your bid was for around $75,000, if my memory serves me correctly?
Yeah, including the tax return, yes.
Okay. Does that include you making presentations to the board?
It does.
The national board?
It does,
okay.
And we'd be happy to, yes.
And how many would you make per year?
Well, how many? We were thinking of one. Did you have? How many did you want?
we're supposed to meet under normal circumstances. We're supposed to meet once per month, and there's an in-person meeting. It's supposed to be quarterly, whenever funds are available to us. So that's when we normally. But the teleconference meetings are, I would say, one per month.
Normally, we have clients that meet monthly. A lot of our clients meet monthly, but normally we meet with them once or twice a year. We meet with them twice a year. Once we meet with the audit committee when we do our entrance conference presentation, and then we usually meet with the audit committee again when we're through with the audit, and then we actually then go and make a board presentation. So we attend only two or three meetings unless there happens to be issues that need to be brought to the attention of the board. Then the meeting number may change. But normally, as outside auditors, we don't meet, you know, that many times with the board.
Okay, but you're saying if we needed to, and you were chosen, that would not be an issue for you.
Absolutely not. No, if you select us as your auditors, you become one of our most important clients, and we would be available. We did a number of years ago. We did a agreed upon procedures audit for Coors. Lee and I were on that engagement, and when we were interviewed, we were asked if we would attend. We had to attend quarterly board meetings for them because these reports were very detailed reports. So they asked me directly, how many times can they count on me being at the meetings? And I said, this is a 5-year contract, so that's 20 meetings. You can count on me being there 20 times. And I was there 20 times. When I was in junior high school, I had perfect attendance. Here at the office, they can tell you, I might have missed, like, I've been in business 40 years. Maybe I missed, like, 3 days of work. I'm a very dependable person.
Okay.
I don't think you'll find a person more dependable than me. Let's put it that way.
It will be very difficult to beat that. 340 years. I mean, that's a pretty good batting average.
And let me give you just a little bit more. When I sat on the board of Blue Cross of California for 9 years. In 9 years, I missed one board meeting because there was a conflict with Glendale Federal. And that was the only time I missed a board meeting. I sat on the board of General Telephone, which is Verizon here in the West Coast. For 15 years, I never missed a meeting.
Okay.
I'll stop with that.
That's pretty impressive. Now, in terms of our foundation, I just went out of my mind what I was going to ask you. Oh, gee whiz, I'll ask you, what paperless audit system do you use, if you are paperless?
We are paperless, and we use Pro Systems. We also have remote access to our server, and all our auditors have laptops, and they can connect with that laptop.
Okay, and I think
on the server.
I think you alluded to this earlier, or it sounds like that you can speak to SAS 112 and its implementation, right?
Yes,
absolutely.
Communication, sure.
Yeah.
Right.
In fact, we. Although we didn't go into it, we have a presentation that we actually sent to you, and in there we touch on SAS 112.
Okay.
Actually, SAS 103 through 112. There's a bunch of new standard auditing statement of auditing standards pronouncements that came out recently that are applicable to you, and including SAS 112.
Right.
And so we're able to address all of those to you.
Okay. And in your $75,000 fee, that includes all travel. Pacifica doesn't have to.
No, it's. I wish it could, but since we don't know the amount of travel,
mm-hmm.
that would be plus travel.
That would be plus travel.
That is correct.
Okay. All righty.
The one thing we can do is because we have a BDO Seedman Alliance relationship, mm-hmm. there's a couple of locations, should we need to travel, that we actually have affiliate members that we could have do some of that work if that was something that you would prefer.
Oh.
And these are CPA firms just like us.
Mm-hmm.
That we have a relationship with. And we've used them, by the way, with other client situations where the inventory is on the East Coast or Midwest.
Because in the... forgive me. That's my phone that's ringing. If you could just ignore it. I think that's it for my questions. I think you answered the questions about how many hours... per level of staff, and I just want to make sure I heard you correctly. It is 400 hours, I think you said?
Yeah, 432
hours, including
and
management level.
No, and then plus management. For a total of 600 hours.
For a total of 600 hours.
Yes.
Okay, great. That's great. Okay, well, I have no further questions. I really enjoyed talking with all of you, your entire committee there. And for the committee members, do you have any questions before I do a wrap-up? No? Okay, hearing none. But just to let you know that the committee will reconvene, and we will decide, so I'll be getting back to you as quickly as I possibly can.
Wonderful. And if you have any additional questions that we can answer, please don't hesitate to call us.
I sure won't. And thank you so much.
Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of your night.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
And for the committee members, please stay on. Don't hang up.
All right.
Good night.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
Okay. Is everybody here?
Jack is here.
Jack is here. Okay.
Yeah. This is Donna. I just unmuted.
Okay. The thing is, that where do we go from here? My phone is just ringing like crazy. This is...
No.
Oh, it's okay. We're not doing an executive session. We will need to plan another meeting. This is Friday.
Are
you trying to say something, Lisa?
I was just trying to be facetious. You said, how about tomorrow night? But I was on.
Oh, no. This is my fifth night in a row. I can't do it a sixth night. And then Sunday is the PNB meeting. No. I'm sure Jack knows that. Right, Jack? No.
Just wiped out from all.
Okay. So we need to... someone said earlier, I think it was Sean, that said that we will get back together or we'll inform the committee. I have a pretty good sense of where I'm leaning. I know we're on the live stream, so I won't say. Does everybody have a pretty good idea as to which direction they'll be leaning? You don't have to say where, but does anybody here need reinforcement?
I think I know who I'm going to vote for, yes.
Anyone sort of
I can't
in
wait
between?
To talk to my colleagues.
Okay.
Jack, I think I know, but I'd like to have some discussion.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be good.
Let's pull up KPFTX. Okay, see what good old KPFTX has to show. If my memory serves me correctly, we don't have too many days next week where we're not overlapping with someone. KPFTX, I'm coming. Well, does anyone have KPFTX up already?
Yeah, I've got it.
Okay. What's the, my color wheel is still spinning here.
Yeah, two for
Helen. Oh, boy.
What's on Monday, Jack?
Monday looks like it's open.
Okay, I don't think I'll be able... I really don't expect people to be reading their email over the weekend.
Yeah, I thought...
To poll. What other day?
Well, he said he'll bring our food.
Maybe Wednesday the 3rd.
I need to know what you want.
Oh, food.
Wednesday the 3rd. We're not having a PNB meeting that day, are we?
Not so far, not yet.
Okay. I know I definitely can't do Tuesday.
That's an archive meeting.
Tuesday the 2nd. It might be archived, but I cannot do that day. So the 3rd sounds like that's doable.
Yeah.
I did 3rd.
Okay. While you're in there, Jack, could you...
Yeah.
Are you trying to say something, Lisa?
Yes, I'm sorry for interrupting, but I thought that was when WBAI was having their LSB meeting.
Oh, they don't post those meetings. If I don't post them, they don't post them. Lisa, you're absolutely right.
Oh. Oh, that's right. You got
What about the 4th, Jack? Why is my computer so slow?
Let's see.
What's the 4th?
On it.
Yeah, there's.
What'd you say, Lisa? Did you say something, Lisa?
I have nothing but important meetings today.
There's an election vendor.
What is the other?
That's an election vendor meeting. I'm on that, but I don't need to be on it.
Oh, who? What is it, Jack?
It's election vendor. For the election to look for a vendor.
Donna? Donna, could you please do #1, Donna?
Again? Oh, okay.
Yes, please.
Look, I'm going to leave you, but whenever we meet,
okay.
It's fine with me. Okay.
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 Okay, thank you so much. Have a safe ride.
Yeah.
Okay, what were you saying about
Carolyn.
The 4th election center? What was that?
Election vendor.
Company vendor.
To run the election. This is a committee to look into hiring somebody to do our next election.
Okay.
Carol and I from this committee are both on that work group, which is...
Yeah, we need to choose the auditor. I want to have... Because remember, the auditor has to go to the in-person PNB meeting.
I mean, it would be proper to call a meeting for tomorrow, but it would be great if we could propose something Sunday to the PNB.
I definitely can't do tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's just out of the way. I'll just tell them that there are two firms. We didn't make quorum, And then maybe I could ask if there could just be, I don't know, what, a special meeting to notify them or something on the 10th? I don't know. I will try to do that. Jack, you're saying it's absolutely critical?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I mean,
we might have, might not be able to do it. I mean, we
no,
may not.
I know. I definitely can't. I can't do tomorrow.
Okay.
That's out of the question for me.
Well, then we won't sweat it. It's getting really thick for August. So, what date are we looking at?
Go ahead,
maybe
Lisa.
Wednesday the 10th.
About the 10th, Friday the 5th. There's nothing.
Oh God.
Friday, Nia. How does Friday
oh,
look?
Oh my God. Friday. I think
Friday.
Just,
trust me.
Friday.
What about Wednesday
really,
the 10th?
The 10th, and then we meet on the 19th. And then would I have a special call meeting to tell them this?
Did we roll out Monday the 1st? Oh, that's right. That isn't that Labor Day? Or
probably
something?
Labor Day.
Only that, I'll be coming back from taking my daughter back to school, so...
Yeah, right. That's not a good one.
I can't... Well, it's going to have to be the 10th, and then I guess we'll announce it at the in-person... I don't know.
Yeah, why not? Why not do it at the in-person? How far behind timeline are we? Are we okay?
Well, he or she is supposed to be at the meeting.
Oh, wow.
Well, let's put it this way. That's normally the way it has been.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the way it's supposed to be, but that's the way it has been.
I mean, after they've been hired, then they
right
appear
mm-hmm
at the September meeting.
Right. Exactly.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me if we have another P&B teleconference before we go to D.C. So
okay.
Maybe if we get something in the 10th, and then maybe if the P&B meets
mm-hmm
between then and the 19th.
Okay. Okay. So let's. I'm going to go in and post that right now for whosoever is left on here on the 10th. Let me log in so I don't forget. So, for the rest of us... Go ahead, Lisa.
I was going to say what I was going to try to do, and if somebody would like to volunteer to assist with this, please do. But I will try to type up the notes that I took tonight, go back and listen on the stream, and maybe try to do it somewhat in the chart form the way other
good
things were presented to us. But again, I'm going to emphasize if somebody wants to help, like maybe I can say it again. I know.
Poor thing, poor
lazy. Everything's going through their mind. They don't want to help so much. They're trying to think.
We just sound so desperate.
And trust me, if you're too shy to say it on the call, you can still volunteer to help with
this. You can get me on the side, right?
Yeah, there's still time. But just to, try to, listen and try to do a comparative thing. And I would kind of like to be able to do this by this weekend. But I should say, if for some reason I'm getting a little bit bogged down and not able to do it, I will put something out on the P&B list. So maybe that will, again, give somebody the time to jump in to... So I think something like that would be helpful.
Yeah, let's see what volunteers you have in these teleconference. Oh, boy. I'm putting in as we speak. Okay, folks, so could I get a motion to adjourn, unless
please
you guys want to stay on?
We can adjourn.
Oh, we need Ambrose to adjourn.
Yeah.
Please let's adjourn, please.
Okay, thank you all so much for persevering. You're real
yeah
troopers. Thank you
thank
so
you
much.
Yeah.
Okay,
oh, yeah.
Good night.
I had a good meeting.
Okay, bye-bye.